What to do when the story I'm in isn't going the way I would like? When the things I've been praying for haven't worked out as I'd hoped? I'm sure we can all think of examples without too much difficulty, dashed hopes, unanswered prayers, things we're still waiting for. What do we do? What's our attitude to be? How do we avoid getting cynical? How do we keep trusting God? Well, today is the final sermon in a series on prayer following the book A Praying Life by Paul Miller. So far, we've thought about the importance of praying like a little child as we come to our loving Heavenly Father. We've thought about what stops us from doing that, the learned attitudes of cynicism and secularism. And we've seen that as we come to our Father in prayer, in repentance and faith, we can pray big and small prayers, all kinds of prayers. 2 weeks ago, we began to think about unanswered prayers as we thought about prayers of lament. And if you haven't heard those sermons, you can catch up with them on YouTube or on our website. And today we're focusing on part four of the book, Living in Our Father's Story. And I should just say we won't be having a sermon on part five, but I do encourage you to keep reading the book if you have it. Miller uses two images in this part of the book, the image of story and the image of the desert. He pictures our life as a story that's unfolding, and we'd like to have control over that story, but often we don't. It unfolds in ways we don't like. But he encourages us to look beyond our story to a bigger story, God's story. The story that God is telling, the tapestry, if you like, that God is weaving. We are a small part of that story, that tapestry, but there's a lot more to it than just us. And when that story isn't going the way we would like, it's a bit like being in the desert. The idea of wandering in the desert is a big theme in the Bible. In the early part of their time as God's people in the Old Testament, Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years before they entered the Promised Land. Jesus was tempted in the desert for 40 days at the start of his ministry. And the book of Hebrews in chapter 4 uses the image of wandering in the desert as a picture of the troubles and struggles we face before we enter heaven. For Miller, the desert is the gap between what we hope for and the reality we experience. Here's the diagram we saw a couple of weeks ago. The story is not going as we hoped. The reality is very different. Our prayers don't seem to be answered. We're in the desert. Whether it's relationship issues or health issues or questions about our life's purpose or the coronavirus crisis or the race riots around the world, it feels like we're in the desert. Well, to help us see what living in God's story looks like, we're going to look for a few moments at the true story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. It'll be familiar to many of us, maybe because of the musical, Joseph and His Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, maybe because of the sermon series that we had a few years ago in 2016 that you can find on our website if you'd like to. What story did Joseph tell himself? We get glimpses of it in the first reading. Even though he was the second youngest of 12 brothers, he was his father's favorite, and he was going to be great. Greater than his brothers, even greater than his father and mother. He would be used by God in a mighty way amongst his people. He would be blessed in their land, the land of Canaan. He'd have a nice house and some children. And you can hear the pride as he shares these things with his brothers and his parents. This is how Joseph saw his story at the start of his life. But God's story involving Joseph was very different. For a start, Joseph spent a long time in the desert. Not a literal desert, but if you read the chapters between 37 and 50, which it's well worth doing, you'll see him experiencing the desert of betrayal by his brothers as they sell him into slavery in Egypt and tell his father that he's dead. The desert of being unjustly thrown into prison when his master's wife lies about him when he refuses her advances. The desert of rotting in prison for years, of being forgotten. He was in the desert for maybe as long as 15 years. And no doubt as he sat in his prison cell for the umpteenth day with little food and no freedom, it felt to him like the story had gone wrong. There was no way back. And yet he kept trusting God. He kept waiting. God's story was different, and it was better. Think of how God refined Joseph's character in the desert. He started off proud, self-centered, probably relying on himself. At the end of the time, he'd been humbled. He'd learned complete dependence on God. As Miller writes, "In the desert, we give up the fight. Our wills are broken, our idols, that is the things other than God that we worship, our idols die for lack of food. Suffering burns away our false selves. Desert life makes us more like Jesus. Then we notice our real thirst, our thirst for God. God finally gets our attention because he's the only game in town. We want to spend time with God. We've learned to pray continually." God refined Joseph during those years, something far more precious than any amount of living in comfort and pleasure. God's story was different and better, and it was also bigger. When Joseph was finally raised up, he wasn't just raised to be a petty ruler in a small area of the Middle East. You probably know the story. Pharaoh had a couple of dreams, and his butler remembered Joseph in prison, that he could interpret dreams. Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, which were about a coming famine, and Pharaoh appointed Joseph his right-hand man to help Egypt cope with the famine. He was raised up to be the second most powerful man in Egypt, the superpower of the time. And the work God had for him wasn't just to help a few people. It was to save the world through providing food for famished people from Egypt and the surrounding nations. Joseph had left his version of the story years before. He had to wait for years in the desert to see what would happen. But God's story was different, it was better, and it was bigger. No wonder Joseph was able to say at the end of the account, chapter 50, verse 20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Well, let's just pause the video there for a moment, just to have a think about the difference between Joseph's version of the story and God's story, how it was different and better and bigger. And maybe start thinking about what that could look like in your life as well. Just pause for a couple of moments. Well, what about us? What about us? Most of us aren't going to experience anything as dramatic as Joseph. But the God of Joseph is the God of his people today. And God is still weaving a story that is different and better and bigger. And we are part of that story. But like Joseph in prison, we often can't see how that story is unfolding. And like Joseph in prison, it often doesn't unfold the way we want it to. We're in the desert. What should our attitude be? And as we think about this, perhaps you could have in mind one issue you're struggling with at the moment, an unanswered prayer, something that makes you feel that you're in the desert. So what should our attitude be? Well, we need to trust God in the desert. Keep trusting, keep waiting to see what he'll do. Patiently waiting is one of the key characteristics of a Christian. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 130, "I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning." And we'll trust that as we wait, God is working in us and working out his story in ways we couldn't even imagine. Miller writes that God designs deserts for each one of us. It was certainly designed for Joseph. And remember, there's a sense in which all of us, however good life is at the moment are still in the desert because we're waiting for Jesus to come back and to bring the pain and the suffering to an end, to restore this groaning creation and to bring his people to be with him in perfect joy forever. That is the final end of the desert. That is the final conclusion of the story that we're all longing for. Keep trusting and then keep praying. Pray prayers of lament, as we thought about 2 weeks ago. And I should say that 2 weeks ago I missed out a key element of lament. I said there are four elements, but there are actually five. The one we feel most obviously, grieving, being real about the pain and the suffering. That comes first. And then it's followed by the other things. You have done this, remember, forgive, act. And persist in prayer, keep praying. Jesus tells lots of stories, doesn't he, to encourage us to persist. A woman crying out repeatedly to a judge. A man crying out repeatedly to his friend in the middle of the night. If the judge and the friend will answer, how much more will our Heavenly Father if we keep on praying? He wants us to pray. And then learn to live in God's story. Learn that this is God's story we are part of. This is one of the big things God's been teaching me over the past couple of years. Often things don't go the way I'd like them to. But it's his story. It's his work. It's his church. He knows better than I do what's for the best. And I found it helpful to think in terms of a number of stories God is telling. The story of Anlaby, the story of England, the story of the Anlaby churches, the story of particular families, the story of the Church of England, the story of history, which is his story. All these stories are being worked out by God in a billion ways we don't understand, and all will ultimately bring glory to him and blessing to his people. So how do we learn to live in God's story? Well, very quickly, Miller says three things. Don't demand the story go your way. When we pray your will be done, we're saying, may your story come first. And I trust you that as it does, my story will work out for the best as well. Think of Joseph. Think of Jesus surrendering his will to the Father and saving countless lives as he did so on the cross. Then look for the storyteller. Look for God's hand in what's going on. Sometimes it's easier to see than others. We may wonder why God has allowed this coronavirus outbreak, and yet all of us can see at least a few things he might be accomplishing through it. People seeking God in a way they haven't for years. Many people being forced to slow down and reassess their lives. Families being forced together. And pray in light of what you see. And know that there are a billion more stories he's telling that we can't see. But know also there will be a day in the future when we will see the whole story and it'll all make sense at last. I love how at the end of several of the Narnia stories, the children meet Aslan, the Jesus figure, and they ask him, why did that particular thing have to happen? And he explains it to them. I can't wait for the day when I'll be able to speak to Jesus face to face and he'll explain and it'll all make perfect sense. Then stay in the story. Don't shut down when it seems to go the wrong way. Keep trusting, keep waiting. As the writer to the Hebrews says, chapter 10, verse 35, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. And I would add to those three things, we can only do that as we get to know the storyteller better. As we get to know his character, that he's all powerful, that he's all loving. As we look back to what he's done in the past, supremely the cross of Jesus, where he proved his love beyond doubt. Know him better, so we can keep trusting him and keep waiting for him. As we close, it may be you've joined us today, or you're watching alongside someone, and you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian. And if that is the case, I'm delighted you've joined us. We love it when people join us to find out more, and we do hope you'll keep logging in, and when the lockdown ends, you'll come and join us at physical church on a Sunday. I hope you've seen what an encouragement, what a privilege it is to have a Heavenly Father like this, one who is good, who is trustworthy, whatever we've gone through, one who is telling a story that is different and bigger and better than the stories we make up for ourselves. Well, you can put your trust in him today. You can come to him as your Father, to Jesus as your Saviour and Lord and friend. And you can begin a wonderful journey, taking part in this glorious story that God is telling and looking forward to the perfect ending, where God's people are gathered with him in a glorious, renewed world, where there is no pain or suffering, and only pure joy and love, which go on and increase forever. Don't you want to be part of that? Let's just pause for a moment and think about what we've heard.